All right, thank you, AGP. All right, today is May 1st, Thursday, May 1st. We're here at the Vets Hall. This is a regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. And with that, we'll go ahead and establish a quorum and call to order. I'll go ahead and take roll call. Member Witowski?
Here.
Member Green?
Here.
Member O'Brien?
Here.
Member Myers, present. We're missing two people today, Member Hansen and Member Dowdy. That we will go and have a moment of silence. Okay, with that, Member Brian, will you lead us off in the Pledge of Allegiance, sir? Member O'Brien. With that, we'll do the advisory board members and liaison announcements. Any public outreach? We'll start with you, Member O'Brien.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kim. Let's see, good put my. So last weekend, we had the blessing of the fleet. It was a normal sized crowd. We're very happy. With the results, we fed 75 people at the Vets Hall here after the ceremony. It was a lot of fun. And I'd like to mention, well, I've got the chance to at the end of this month. There's a Lost at Sea ceremony, and it's the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization has a hand in putting it on. Actually, my wife Trudy is the one who spearheaded it. And was one of the founding members. But it's for those lost at sea. It's in Cayucas from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. It's only 1 hour. And that's on Memorial Day, the 26th, so at 3 p.m. But anyways, that's it's been, I think it's 22 years now that's been going on. So if anybody gets a chance, please circle that date. The 26th, 3 p.m. in Cayucas. I think it was announced last meeting that there was no salmon season this year. There might be an abbreviated recreational season, but there is no commercial season, so the cost of salmon is going to be pretty high if you buy it. And this will be the third year in a row with no season. And just a quick note, too, May 19th at 5:30 at the Bay Theater. There, Morro Bay Maritime Museum is putting on a movie there called Devil's Jaw, and that is about the event down at Honda, this side of Point Arguello, when we lost a bunch of our Pacific Fleet, the largest peacetime naval disaster, I know, in U.S. history. Might be the history of the world as far as costs go, because. But anyway, so it's the movie's going to be on 5:30 at the Bay Theater. And I recommend it for anybody. It's a lot of history of our area. It's a documentary type. Thank you.
What day was the movie?
Pardon?
What day was the movie?
May 19th, 5:30 p.m.
Hello. My announcement is about the gala. They are having a gala on May 17th, the Chamber of Commerce, and it's recognizing some of our great citizens and businesses. It should be a great event with lots of local gifts and prizes and food. So your tickets, get them before May 5th. That's the end, and I know that there's just a few tickets left, so hopefully we have a nice big crowd.
Thank you, Member Hansen. I'll go back to you. Member Green?
Decisions about Cal Poly acceptances were, I think, due yesterday or today, so we should start seeing an idea of what enrollment's going to look like at Cal Poly next year and over the next couple years. There's also, you might have seen it in the news, they're building housing units like crazy on Cal Poly's campus. There's going to be, a 7 or 8-story modular sort of stackable high-rise of around 500 units or so on campus, and it sounds like it's going to be the first of, 3 to 5 of those type of buildings so that they can bump enrollment up by another 8-10% or so. So that's something to just be aware of. This weekend, I heard from a lot of my students, they're headed out to the Shebang Music Festival, which is at Dairy Creek across from Cuesta this weekend, so that's an event that's going on. On the planning side, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot going on. I did see there that council had multiple closed session meetings with 801 Embarcadero. I know that lease site is about 7 years removed from the end of the Pipkin lease, and I know a lot of people, I haven't been down there in the last week or so, so if it started getting demoed without me knowing, great. If not, maybe that we can get some sort of input at some point regarding the timeline of demolition and redevelopment of 801 Embarcadero.
Thank you, Member Green. Member Witowski?
Yep, thank you. Just one thing to bring to attention is that the Morro Bay Youth Sailing Foundation launched a new fundraising drive in order to raise money for 2 new Opti sailboats in order to support youth sailing. So if you'd like to help grow the youth sailing program, you can donate at mbysf.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Witowski. I just wanted to bring this up. Hopefully it'll show up on the camera. But we do have the Maritime Swap Meet, helps the Maritime Museum and the Friends of Morro Bay. It'll be Saturday, June 28th, starts at 8 in the morning. If anybody has things to buy or sell, there's still a few slots left. You can sign up either going directly to the Harbor Office or to, Friends of the Morro Bay, harbordepartment.org. I'm not going to spell it out here, but to search for that and you should find it. On your web browser if you want to sign up via the web. And that's it for me. Thank you. All right. Let me flip over my agenda here. Next on the agenda, we will have, we don't have any public any presentations, but we will jump to public comment. If there's anything that members of the public want to address that's not on the agenda or don't have time for the entire meeting, since there's doesn't look like there's any hands raised here in the audience. AGP, is there any hands raised on the Zoom call?
Hi, Chair. We have no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Thank you very much. With that, we'll jump to the consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull anything off the consent calendar this time? Nope. With that, do we have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
Are you motioning?
I move to that we
move
accept
to, I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll move on to business item 1. So pretty excited. We do have the goal setting. And we want to pull comments before the presentation, Laura. Is that correct? Or do we want to do the presentation first? Okay. With that, Director Munson, if you'd want to bring your presentation up, and we'll listen to it.
Thank you, Chair Myers and board members. So today we're going to be going over the goal setting that the council had done and kind of how the HABS action items from back in March kind of fit into that and how we've made them fit into the objectives that the council had set. So at the end of March, City Council had set 3 main goals. These are to carry us through the next 2 years from 2025 to 2027. And they were economic vitality and fiscal health, infrastructure resiliency, and El Morro Elementary. Of those, we fit into the first two of them, economic vitality and fiscal health, and the other one, infrastructure resiliency. Within those, there was a subset of objectives, and we thought that we fit the most cleanly into revenue enhancement and harbor infrastructure. So just kind of going back to what the advisory board discussed back in March, we kept the stay engaged with offshore wind. We were looking at grant opportunities for the boat ramp. That's going to be a high-cost project, and we've kind of separated that into two phases now. A pilot program, or just a parking program for the boat launch and the rock parking, and then fully incorporate the lease management software and pursue funding opportunities for the North Tea Pier and revetment. And so what we've done is we've kind of whittled those down into budget items and proposed action items. And what we have there is the SEEK grants for the long-term boat ramp repairs. There's quite a few different grants that we could go after for that. One of the challenges with just doing it out of the general fund is that it's going to cost quite a bit. They're likely going to have to put in a cofferdam to be able to, if we are to do a concrete ramp and extend it. Also, there's just challenges with the parts that have undermined underneath the ramp, and it's going to be a sizable project. So we're definitely going to want to seek assistance on that. Again, this is the Harbor Department is related to this, but this is a multi-department task, and that's to continue developing the paid parking program at the boat launch and the rock parking lots. And then this leads into our next discussion item, which is our business item, which is that we're recommending that the advisory board create a committee to discuss the licenses and our other revenue generating opportunities for the Harbor Department. And don't worry, you don't have to memorize all these. I'll recap them as we go. But for the infrastructure and resiliency for harbor infrastructure, we're looking at the immediate repairs to the boat ramp to be undertaken within the next few years. The facilities inspections of lee sites and public areas to refurbish or replace the lights posts on the Embarcadero, and to address the mooring inspections and engineering needs, and to assess the feasibility of the State Park Marina dredging. And again, we've kind of whittled those down into the items you see there. We've got some budget items we're going to budget for, or we budgeted for the short-term repairs to the boat ramp, the North Tea Pier repair plan, and also continuing the dock repairs that we've already been undertaking. We're also looking at doing some mooring engineering. Our plans are quite old, and they need to be updated before we go out to for an RFQ to get additional people who can inspect our moorings. That leads into the addressing the mooring inspection needs. Then we'll also be looking at the feasibility of the State Park Marina dredging project, and then we're going to continue with the maintenance and repair program that we've already begun, and keeping conversations with PG&E regarding the light posts on the Embarcadero and the surrounding areas. So here's kind of a recap of what we've completed in the last couple of years. In my short time here, I've seen a lot of movement on this. They just replaced the Beach Street docks, which was neat to see down at the Tidelands dock. That we just repaired. There was some sagging in the dock, and they replaced a lot of floats there, and we just put in the pump out and continue to work on that. The boat launch docks, the two docks that surround the boat ramp, those got repaired, as well as the slips that are right by the boat launch docks. That's about 75% complete, and we're looking at continuing that. The inspection program started. We hope to get through quite a bit of that this next year. We had a very successful turnout with our SAVE program. This is where we demolished 10 boats total and 8 through the grant. We also had a couple other private ones that didn't weren't eligible for the grant, but they got their boats demolished at the same time. And that's just really helpful to kind of keep derelict boats out of the harbor, which can end up being quite a nuisance. The North T Pier, the assessment was complete. A few years ago, we had done an initial assessment, and at the end of 2023, they did a dive inspection, and then they produced the report in early 2024. And this kind of gave the full scope of the damage for it. And so with that information now, we'll be looking at doing a repair plan, which will tell us, you know, what exactly needs to be repaired, and that will help with fundraising efforts. And then with the revetment, we also just got the draft report on that recently, and that was presented to, at our joint meeting last time. And then we just kind of finished the last pieces of the harbor office remodel. When I first got there, there were just some cubicle walls between partitions in there between some of the office spaces, but we put in some more formal walls, which kind of gives it a real office feel. So that's nice. I'll just go through some of the pictures. There's some of the new Beach Street docks. Those were all replaced since I've been here. So we're looking at we might have to wait a bit on this, but we're looking at options for replacing the gangway to that as well. These are the Tidelands docks. If you notice in the middle portion, it's a bit darker. So that was all replaced, and the floats under there were replaced as well. Some other floats were placed in other places as well. And you can kind of see down at the base of the gangway, that's the location of the pump out station. And there were some, in the consent item, there were some pictures of that. But that will be nice once it's done, because you will have both an opportunity where you can either use the pump out or you can use a dump station. And it will go through a, what's it called, a clarifier, so that if somebody puts in a screw into it, that when they're using it for its unintended purposes of cleaning out their bilge or whatnot, it will filter out the screw before it goes through the pump, which would, you know, severely shorten the life of the pump. So that's all good news, and that was grant funded. With the boat launch and docks and the slips, my understanding is all the ones on the left side. Is that right, Lori? All the ones on the left side have been replaced?
No.
No? Okay.
There's about four that still need work.
Okay, so there's still four that need to be worked. So we're going to continue this work. And then if you look around the launch ramp itself, those piers have been replaced as well, or docks. And then here's the two reports that we had completed. And there's a couple pictures from the recent boat demo. So going on to, you know, where we're going from the future, we're looking at those grants for, and I'll just go through, but this is just kind of a recap before we get into it. So for the long-term repairs, yeah, that's going to be a sizable project. And we really can't, I'm kind of jumping the gun because it's in goal two, but we can't really wait for those long-term repairs to happen. We really need to do some action immediately, because those grants can sometimes take multiple years. When I got at Port San Luis, when I got a dock replacement grant, from start to finish, it was probably about 8 years. So it's not something that is just going to happen overnight. So what we're looking to doing with harbor funds is repair the top section of the dock and get some more traction on that ramp, just so that we can get through for the next few years until we can do this more significant repair. And hopefully that will kind of get us going. But we are going to be looking for grants. We had previously had a grant with Division of Building and Waterways for $250,000. One of my predecessors had turned that down because the improvements that were going to be needed to actually achieve the goals of that grant were going to far exceed, we were going to spend more on being able to comply with the grant than it was actually going to go towards the project. So we're looking at alternatives. There's some new funding through through Department of Fish and Game, and then there's also Wildlife Conservation Board as well as Coastal Conservancy. So there's a few pockets of money out there that we could definitely do, and there's definitely a need for public access and grants associated with them. With the funding opportunities for the new T-Pier, we're looking at, we've already secured about $1.5 million through a grant that, some federal funding, which Salud Carver Hall was instrumental in getting for us. We're looking to add to that. Right now, the estimates for the T-Pier fluctuate greatly. The condition assessment report had said that it was somewhere, I think, between 3.5 and 5.5 million. But then it said that to complete everything wrong with it, it was going to cost in the neighborhood of 10 million. And so we're looking at somewhere between that, like 5 and 10 million. So we're looking at about $7 million that we need right now, or that's at least what we're targeting. And if we have to get something lower than that, then we can make do. But the good news is not necessarily good news, but we did get some promising news that there is an amount of money at the federal level that has opened up recently that we could potentially be eligible for. So fingers crossed, but we can't celebrate until we actually get it. What happened? Hitting the wrong button. That doesn't know. And so another thing we're looking at right now is this is a continuation of the parking plan. It had mentioned that one of the things that we should look at doing would be collecting fees over the rock. This would be the funds that would be used for this would be for the betterment of the rock and also to relieve congestion and also to provide safety out there. And since COVID, we've had, it seems like it's been happening a lot more recently. There's times when it takes hours to get away from the rock or to and from the rock because there's just so many people out there. And so collecting fees for this would not only help reduce some of that congestion, but also would allow us to do some, pay for some of the amenities out there. Like we have lifeguards out there, we have restrooms out there, and we have to continually put down new material up for the surface, and having funds for that would help us be able to do that more frequently and provide some amenities. So we're right now just assessing options, but we'll continue doing that over the next fiscal year. And then this is sort of a topic for the next discussion item, is we want to look at licenses and other forms of revenue generating opportunities. So licenses are different from leases in that they don't have a brick and mortar location. They don't have a permanent location. They're kind of mobile. Even though we likely wouldn't consider this at this time, food trucks is a type of a license, but there's also things like boat charters, the mobile sauna that is shown there, that was one of the licenses that we started since I've been here as sort of a pilot project. These are things that we would hope enhance the visitor experience, and that's why we thought it might be a good idea to get a committee going just so that we can hash out some of these ideas, what's going to work, what's not going to work. And so this is just kind of a recap of what the goal and objectives were. And I'll just go through them real quick. So again, we're looking at the short-term repairs, just replacing that top third section and then getting some traction on the bottom to get us through the next few years. With the North T Pier, we're looking at doing a repair plan this year. Getting a project as close to shovel ready as possible is really helpful when trying to get grant funding. A lot of granting agencies don't want to risk funding it when they only have a limited pool of money. They don't want to risk giving money for a project that is just conceptual and might not work. So if you can get a repair plan and hopefully get permitting for it, then you're as close to shovel ready as possible. And so that's kind of the next step in this project. We're going to continue with those storm recovery dock repairs. We do have some funding available, but we're also looking at some grant funding opportunities to get those done, improve our facilities. And then this is a picture of our file for our current mooring system. It's from 1974, so over 50 years old. If you can see that cube on the top, that was supposed to be a plywood box. And so right now we don't have any standard, we do have standard moorings, but they're not, obviously not this anymore. And what we're trying to do is get an engineered mooring system so that when we do go out to RFP or RFQ for mooring inspections, everybody's playing on the same level, and there's expectations, and it will also help with our liability. We're looking at assessing the feasibility of the State Park Marina. We've already made some good strides with this. We've been talking recently with regulatory agencies regarding the feasibility for this. We're looking at doing some sediment sampling once we've identified a project. And we have a couple options. We haven't gotten a firm no yet, so that's promising. And we're just taking it one day at a time with that. It's going to be a long process, but there's at least some hope of being able to do it. This is kind of a little pet project of mine. One of the things I noticed when I got here was the condition of the light post. I'm looking at doing getting them refurbished or replaced. Ends up that they're owned by PG&E. And we have been getting some traction with that, and our mayor actually has been very supportive of that and has been helping out with that, so that's been great. Right now we're kind of in a holding pattern. Our PG&E representative has changed location, so they're onboarding a new one. But so far, we've been getting some promising feedback from PG&E, and a lot of times with light post replacements, they'll just kind of offer you a standard one, and then you pay the cost differential if you want like an ornamental one. So hopefully we'll be able to get some traction with that and get some options for us. This is just kind of a recap that we went through. One of the things that I didn't touch on, let's see, it was the inspection program. So yeah, we've completed completed identifying our first round of inspections, and we also had sent out to all of our master leaseholders a letter just kind of requesting for what repairs that they were going to be doing in the next fiscal year. And this will just help us because it will let us know what they're planning on doing, but also we're not going to ding them for something that they're already planning to repair. So I'm hopeful that this can be a collaborative effort, and I'm not going to be going out there and writing citations from the get-go, but I think it's good to get awareness, and it always helps having an extra set of eyes, because if you're doing the same thing every day, you don't always notice things that everybody else does. So I'm hopeful that will be successful. And with that, that concludes my presentation, and I'll be happy to answer questions and receive feedback from the board.
Thank you, Director Munson. Just from a logistics perspective, because we have to weave this into public comment, so this would be the questions. And after we conclude the questions, we'll open up public comment, and then we can discuss it internally. But so with that, any questions? I have a few for Munson. I'll let you guys go first. Yep. Go ahead, Greg.
Two questions. One, the presentation that you just put together, is that staff's like application of council's goals, or is that like a council-generated presentation?
No, I created that presentation just for you guys.
Okay. Yeah. And the other question was about the inspections, whose jurisdiction that is, and what did that entail with the waterfront leaseholders?
So the inspections, so we're looking at both the public areas and the private areas, but we're not looking on the inside of the buildings. So it would just be mainly going out on the outside of the what can be seen from public view, what are in the publicly accessible areas, and then it's basically not a checklist, but you know, looking at condition of paint, condition of roof, condition of sidewalk, you know, and then supplying that list to the leaseholder at the end to just show them what we're looking at. And then, you know, we will be keeping these on file. And so if we've reminded, you know, a leaseholder over time, hey, you've had this issue here for, you know, 2 years and it hasn't been addressed, then that's when we're looking at, you know, enforcement. But on the other side of that, we also have the public areas where there are quite a few deficiencies on the public areas as well, and that we need to address. And so that's why in the beginning we're going to be really focusing on the public areas first, because I don't want to be pointing fingers at anybody when we're not taking care of our own stuff.
Thank you very much.
Member O'Brien.
Yeah, Chris, I was just wondering, has anybody explored possibilities for the launch ramp as far as a temporary fix or something like that?
Are you talking about the boat launch ramp?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we got some initial estimates on it, and we do have that. We do have funding budgeted for that this year. And so we're looking at the top portion of the ramp has a bunch of exposed rebar and metal. And then for the lower part of the ramp, there used to be traction marks in it that have kind of eroded away over time. And so we're looking at having some of those set back in and then re-pour the top portion of the ramp. And because that's out of the water, it should be less complicated than replacing the rest of the ramp. So that should at least get us through the next few years. Does that answer your question?
Or yeah, absolutely. Thanks, okay. Chris.
You're welcome.
Sure, you see any questions? I kind of have two. For the phase one and phase two, again, this would be the estimates, how long would the boat ramp be out of service? So I like the first part would be maybe a week, but phase two could be months.
It's hard to say. I would imagine with the phase one repairs, I think it can go relatively quickly. The second phase, it depends on what technique that they use, because my understanding is that you can do it where you do it as in like you can precast the sections and then put them in place. But if you're recasting it in place and extending it, then you're having to build, you know, a cofferdam and dewater it, which I would imagine will take quite a bit of time just setting the forms. There's also some alternative methods that you could do to be able to achieve the extension of the dock, which I had discussed with Paul Gillen, and that's driving piles near the end and having kind of like a floating, not floating, but a cantilevering ramp at the end, which seemed like an interesting proposition. But at this time, I don't know. But I know that that will definitely be one of the questions within the RFQ and one of the grading criteria. Because if it's going to take, you know, half a year, not half a year, but if it's going to take a month and the only time that they can do it is when it's bright and sunny outside, that's going to have an impact. And so what we're going to be looking at when they can do it within the seasonality and how short that window is going to be.
All right, thank you. The second question, it wasn't on here. I mean, if it's not appropriate to ask this time, but the area by the gas dock has been closed for some time. mean, it kind of falls under the inspection, but if it's not appropriate to discuss at this point, we can save it for later.
That area is private, so that's my understanding. So we don't have too much say into it. I have talked to the leaseholders about, you know, getting on it, and I know that it is being looked into it. It's not, my understanding is that it's a challenging project, so it's going to require a well thought out solution that, or else it's going to cost a lot of money.
All right, thanks. Any other questions after that? I'll open up a comment if another. Okay, go ahead.
What role do you see the harbor playing in enforcing parking at the Rock? Is it just monetary benefit, or is there actual role?
It's all pretty preliminary at this time, but one of the ideas is to be, well, not so much at the Rock, but just as far as if we have timed parking, there's scanners that they can put on the vehicles, and one of the ideas is to do one or two on police vehicles, but also doing one on a harbor vehicle just because we're down here. And the way that would work is it would basically scan license plates, and they'd be able to tell when people have paid and when they have not, or if it's time parking, how long they've been there. And it will just kind of give you an indication once you pass it that that person's in violation, and it prints out a ticket automatically. So there could be an involvement with Harbor Patrol with that.
One more. Yeah, we mentioned licenses for the mobile businesses. Food trucks is one of them that you mentioned isn't covered today. What authority do food trucks have to operate on things like the Kite Festival right now or other special events? Is it a special permit or is it something completely different?
They're only allowed to do it during permitted events. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Questions, I will open it up to public comment and we'll bring it back for discussion. Nobody here in the audience has their hand raised. AGP, is there anybody online that has their hand raised, sir?
Hi, Chair Byers. There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right, pretty easy. We'll bring it back for discussion. One item that I just kind of, it wasn't really a question. You talk about the North T Pier and making a $10 million investment. If you're going to spend that much money, does it make sense to replace it as is? Because, you know, from a business case, it's hard to justify spending $10 million. You'll never get $10 million back from it.
That's one of the things that I'm in discussion with Public Works Director Greg Qualick right now, just as far as what strategy are we doing for it, whether it be for a different use, whether it's continuing its use. And, you know, if we are to scale it back, as you know, that was originally put in there for World War II training, and it's much higher off the deck than what, higher off the water surface than what is practical for using it these days. But then again, you know, if you're taking into account sea level rise, it could be the perfect height, so who knows? So that's definitely one of the things that we want to look at before we do it. And what I don't want to do is, you know, replace it or repair it as is or to some other use when we haven't figured out what that next possible use is. So there's still a bit of thinking that needs to go into it before we go out to look for an engineer to do that repair plan.
And just along those same lines, if the North P Pier, if you just kind of, you know, it disappeared tomorrow, just looking at the picture, you guys don't actually physically use the T Pier for Harbor Patrol nor Coast Guard use. Is that a correct statement? I mean, there's a little shack on top there, but you guys don't tie up to the North T Pier.
So we do and don't. The dock system that is currently there, which the Harbor Patrol and the Coast Guard uses is affixed to the pier, but they're not using it in its conventional sense. Similarly, there's a fish and wildlife vessel on the western side of the T-pier, which is also secured to the T-pier, but they're also using a float to between the T-pier and it. So it's not 100% necessary for the T-pier to be there. but as it is right now, we are using the T-pier, if that makes sense. Yeah,
but not in a significant manner. If you were to rip it out, there'd be minor accommodations you'd have to do.
There is public access to it. It is used as a fishing pier, and one of our municipal codes is that the T-piers are to be used to remain open for public access. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky question because, yes, we do use it, but at the same time, do we need it in its current configuration to do what we're doing now? I can't say that we do.
Okay, thank you. I'm all right.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention there's a lot more issues, too, than its constant use, but I don't know what that T-pier and having that T-pier might have to do with our dredge funding and so forth, because that pier allows us to accommodate larger boats. It wasn't only a year or two ago when we had larger boats on both of the piers, when we had two tugs. Frank Loving's tugs were on the south pier, and then that left only the T-pier for any larger vessels that came in.
And that's a really good point. We do need to preserve the... I do believe that there's a strong reason to maintain capacity for larger vessels. I guess my point is that is a wooden pier at that height the best facility to be able to do that? And just because I know one of the reasons why boats are reluctant to tie up to it is because you're basically rubbing right up against all these mussels and barnacles that are on the side of the pier, and it's gonna mess up your gel coat or your fiberglass. And so there are other ways of doing that. Even if we use the same system, we can use a fendering system, which will give some distance to the boat, or kind of these bumpers that are on the side of the pier. So there are different options, but we definitely want to look at what option works the best. I think that with the current situation where people have to go down ladders where it's 15 feet off of the water, there might be some opportunities where we can do gangways or alternative ways to get to the boats, which might be more effective.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion items? I guess from an action perspective, is this a receive and file, or do we have...
If you had any... feedback on if these are ones that you liked or didn't like, or any modifications. There's not so much that we can do, but it's definitely good to know where you would like to see the Harbor Department go.
I do want to mention something about we talked a lot about the Harbor Walk and improvements that cost far less than some of these big ticket items on the infrastructure side that we covered in the report. I think there was sort of a brief mention about the inspections of the lease sites, which I think is a great step forward. I would love to see something about leaseholder and or tenant relations of some kind pushed into either the economic vitality category. Or maybe sort of relocated away from infrastructure in some kind of way, knowing that even something like the T-pier it's really tough to quantify the value from a waterfront experience for the removal of the T-pier and coastal access and things like that, and even the mention of gangways to get down to the coast is like, for someone who supports coastal access, that is just like a nightmare. And those things are not utilized; they're only utilized primarily by the people on the boat. So, I think the waterfront experience somehow ought to find its way into the economic vitality, whether it is revenue enhancement or a standalone thing. That's just my two cents, but generally speaking, I think that the presentation sort of wrapped up some of the main talking points of both council and us.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's the soft benefits of a thing like a T-pier because you can go walk on it. And we just had a discussion about piers, and people like to walk on them even though they're not fun themselves. Sharice, you had another question, comment?
How many people walk down Pismo Pier, you know?
So as far as the presentation and the result of that, what I'm noticing is that there's a couple things that, well, there's quite a few things that you guys are going to work on as far as the harbor department. And there's things that maybe you could use some help for. I know that before we, either our budget committee or we actually had a separate one where advisory board members assisted in the grant finding and researching and filling out. Is that something that you're interested in, maybe talking about future for an ad hoc committee for finding and doing that? And then also, you mentioned the parking. Is it possibly a future request from the Harbor Department for the advisory board to create or reinstate the parking ad hoc committee? And then you said a mooring standards policy. I know that we had an ad hoc committee that talked about all the lines, and so you had a couple different board members that were part of that. Maybe drafting an actual standards for moorings, we could do an ad hoc committee and put an input in that. And then you said state park dredging and then PG&E lamps. If you need any assistance in any of those that you think creating a committee would be of assistance to you, is there any more than just the lease?
I think one of the, in my mind, I wouldn't want to just limit it to the leases. It would be pretty much any sort of revenue generation ideas that we could have. And I mean, we could just start off with the leases, and I could see it kind of transforming into other areas. Like, there's other thoughts that we had about, you know, what areas, you know, are there opportunities in the public water lease areas? Where can we look at expanding, you know, potentially docks and slips in those? There's a few locations right now that seem underutilized. One example would be over by in front of the aquarium, or behind the old aquarium. That's all public use area, and the docks are out of service there, and there's really no access. That could be potentially a great opportunity for extending the harbor walk there and adding the docks. So, and there would be an ongoing revenue generation with that. So, I don't have a monopoly on ideas with revenue generation, and so I think that I could see that committee morphing into having other ideas for revenue generation. But if the advisory board would like to have other committees, I think perhaps that would be a topic that we could discuss is next HAB meeting was coming up with some ideas for different committees that and that HAB could discuss which ones they'd like to pursue.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I know that now that we're down to five or six people, we are only allowed to have two people on a committee. And this seems like a really large thing to just put in, you know, finding more revenue from all the different sources. So, maybe we can maybe chop some of these up into smaller pieces. So, you know, two members and two members can have two different things that they're working on, so you utilize us to the best of our ability.
Understood. Okay.
All right, thank you, Member Sharice. Member Green, any comments? Anything else? I just want to mirror Sharice's enthusiasm. You know, we're here to help. That's what we want to do. And so that's why we've been clamoring for this. So, you know, we've got one here that we'll work on, and if we spin up one or two more topics that make sense, you know, get something done this calendar year to hang our hat on. We're here to help. It's going to be June, right? Here pretty quick. All right, with that, I think there's no other comments. We'll go ahead and just close up item B1. All right. We'll move to item B2, which is actually going to be an ad hoc. Yay, let's see, here it is. The item B2 is consideration for an ad hoc to explore the license agreement, as we talked about in the previous business item. Director Munson, do you have a little discussion on that before we get started?
Yeah, no, we've already talked quite a bit about it, and I think just one thing I just wanted to clarify is, you know, not only talking about the ideas of the ad hoc committee is not only for to come up with ideas for potential lease sites, but kind of put the guardrails on, you know, what we can and cannot do. Like, what we don't want to do is do things that are going to hurt our existing businesses and, you know, take away from the visitor experience. And the idea with this would be to eventually, or one of the ideas would be to eventually go out to a request for proposals periodically. At Port St. Louis, they would do it once a year, and people would have the opportunity to submit their plans for licenses, and then there would be reviewed and voted on, and then if there was one that didn't meet that criteria, then they wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't be granted a license. And so this would be kind of getting that framework for this RFP: what we like, what we don't like, what we want to see, what we're going to really prioritize. So with that, I'll turn it back to you.
Sure, I have a couple questions. Do you want to go first? Or? Okay. I guess from the boundaries, you know, there's a type of businesses that you're looking at that obviously. Is there a geographical boundary? I know, like, for example, the sauna is kind of over by Coleman Park. Would this include, like, the Rock parking lot, north of the river, you know, over by the RV park over there? Is there any sort of boundaries like that?
Well, it would be limited to the Tidelands. But that would be one of the items for discussion, too, is let's say you did like the idea of food trucks, but you don't want it to be on the Embarcadero. You know, you could have it where you do have a food truck out by the Rock, because there's really not many amenities out there. And, you know, perhaps a hot dog stand isn't really going to compete with, you know, the Hofbrau or whatnot. So there are areas that have more of a tolerance for certain uses than others. So, I know, for example, at Port St. Louis, they had it where they would have, like, kayak licenses where people could do kayak rentals on the beach, but they would only allow one per beach. So you didn't have three people just basically, like, if somebody wants a kayak, they're going to get a kayak. And so you're not changing the carrying capacity in that, if that makes sense. It doesn't increase demand by having more kayak rentals. And so they're just hurting each other. And so that's one of those kind of discussions, is you don't want to have necessarily three surf schools. They're just going to compete with each other. So, yeah, there is locations and carrying capacities that you have to discuss. And a lot of this is going to be learned as we go. I expect after some point that we'll be able to see, oh yeah, maybe this isn't good to have too many vendors in one place. And so that's one of the things we'll talk about.
Okay. And then kind of along those same lines, there's sometimes like a maker's market there down by the Stacks restaurant, that little parking lot there. Is that something that would be included in that?
No, I believe that's a special event permit.
Okay. That's questions I have. Any others?
I've got a follow-on question. Are there use case restrictions on there are use case restrictions, to my understanding, on certain parts of the Tidelands. Do the licenses for these temporary businesses also have to abide by those same use case?
Yes, they would need to comply with the policies. But at the same time, if there are certain, like one example would be currently we couldn't do a boat charter. Like people, like somebody for a license, they could do a boat charter, but right now there's currently nowhere where they could pick up because the launch docks are for public loading. And then I believe they're prohibited on Tideland's dock. And so we could definitely look at something like that, but then we would need to change the rule for the Tideland's dock. We couldn't do it at the launch ramp because that was, I believe it was publicly funded. So anyway, I don't know enough to be able to answer 100%, but we would have to, there are some things that we would have to be, that would be restricted, but then there's also some opening somewhere where we could potentially change, you know, an ordinance to be able to allow us to do some things if it doesn't make sense.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions before we open up to public comment?
Sorry, one more. Just thinking about some of the people that would be affected by a license agreement on there. Is it something that should be included, or is it? Are you amenable, or is the city council amenable? I'm just thinking about fishermen who sell off of their boat. Is there something already in place that they have that allows them to do that? I wouldn't want to all of a sudden say that they would need this license agreement in order to do that, because I'd want it to remain the way it is.
My understanding is fishermen are already allowed to sell off their boat.
And perfect. Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure.
Whole fish, anyway. Okay. They can't fillet.
All right. That's my answer.
All right. If there's any other questions, go ahead and open it up for public comment. I don't see any hand raised in the audience. AGP, does anybody have their hand up in the audience or on the call?
Hi, Chair Byers. There are no raised hands in the queue.
Heartbreaking. All right, well, that will pull it into discussion. Any questions or any discussions? I guess we'll be looking for volunteers here momentarily.
Knowing that, and I think Sharice brings up a really good point with the, you know, sort of the separating these two things. We have the grant funding and major infrastructure items seems very different than harbor vitality. So I don't know the exact language, but it seems like this is more of a harbor vitality ad hoc committee that looks for opportunities for underutilized lease sites. It looks for opportunities for mobile business licensing, and maybe even things like opportunities for art installations, whether that's a free RFP or something like that, that is focusing on the maybe the low to medium dollar experience of being along the land side of the harbor.
I would agree with the art installations. I know that the city council goals were pretty concise, but once you actually opened them up, there were a lot of things that they wanted to see happen. And one of them, I know that they consider the economic vitality to be a beautification as well. So anyway, I just want to add that's a nice add to vitality.
Anybody else have comments on that? All right. Who wants to volunteer? All right.
I just wanted to add before we go further that I think we can discuss at another meeting other committees, and I'm happy to do that. And I hear that I've heard multiple board members request that, but for this specific one, it's just to talk about the license agreement program for non-competing businesses in the Tidelands Trust area. And so if we want it to completely change or go to a different thing, then we'll have to, for other committees, we'll have to come back for that.
Yeah, my preference is to keep it fairly narrow, mostly because we can get something out the door relatively quickly. I think, like I said, opportunities to divide and conquer. If we split it up two people, we can get two or three things going at once, so...
My follow-up to that would be if it's just focused on licensing of mobile businesses, I would maybe withdraw my name from that very limited committee, unless it has an opportunity to grow into something bigger.
Yeah. So here's just my two cents, and it would have to come from, I'd like to see this get in and out the door. If that committee wants to expand their scope and do something second deliverable. We've done that before with the committees. We start on something, get that finished, and then do a follow-on with it. Or we could do another one. I don't know. But right now, this is focused fairly narrow. So with that, with the narrow focus right now, I know, Charisse, you've raised your hand. Anybody else would like to take a swing at it? All right. Trying to stay out of it. Yeah, so we got two people that have raised their hands, Member O'Brien and Member Hansen.
So just confirming, it was that Jeremiah O'Brien and Charisse Hansen?
Yes.
Okay.
And we haven't voted yes on it yet, but I just wanted to let you guys know that I was on the lease policy as well as I was on the lease agreement for transient or moving non-brick-and-mortar things with Marty Lomeli and Eric Crawford. And so I have a pretty good background. And so I think we'll have fun, Jeremiah.
You got the brains.
If that's okay with everybody, I would like a vote for yes. Thank you.
All right. I guess we can have a formal vote on that one, right, Lori? All right, so I'll make a motion to nominate Member Hansen, Member O'Brien to the ad hoc committee to explore license agreement programs for non-brick-and-mortar, non-convening businesses in Dylan Trust.
Second. Yeah, okay. I'll second that.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? No? Are we cool, Lori?
Who is it?
Mr. Green. All right. That will then conclude item B2 on the business from the business items. Then we'll look at the, if people want to run through the declaration of future agenda items. We have a handful on the list. Several of these, I think, would potentially be future ad hoc committees. Some of them, Member Hansen mentioned earlier, parking, budget. We talked a little bit about deeper dive into the slip qualifications. I don't know if that's something we still want to do. Is there anything in here that we want to try to bring up on the next next meeting in June? Or any desire for? Hopefully, Member Dowdy will be here. We can get a waterfront master plan update. I don't know if they have anything to report yet. I'm sorry? Oh. Oh, that's right, yeah. Oh, we have the waterfront master plan. I forgot you're on it as well.
But I'm not as a person who reports to HAB.
Yeah, different hat. But I guess when we meet in June, there should be some updates from Gene at that point. Okay. Anything else on the future agenda items that is burning a hole, or anybody want to add anything?
Well, I mean, if we want to add... So we have parking ad hoc already. Knowing what we have for the goals now, perhaps we want to add a economic vitality committee that would encompass some of the things that members have been requesting. So resource generating, beautification, that kind of, sure. Just separating out parking, perhaps, and trying to do the revenue generating, which it also maybe encompass grants and beautification.
All right. Do we want to have those as all items under the ad hoc committee, or one ad hoc committee, or do you want to have them as separate items?
I think what I'm saying is we just want to add one more future agenda declaration of a future agenda item, so then you guys, when the executive meeting happens to figure out what the agenda items are for next meeting, you have the board members' request to make it a future agenda item. And so I'm saying to add a future agenda item of economic vitality ad hoc.
Okay.
They'll live up to your namesake. Yeah, because I think Member Green did a very good job of articulating it. It's more than it's some of it is not necessarily, you know, like beautification, and there's a, it's a broader category of things than just, you know, looking at this very narrow topic.
Sounds good.
All right.
Lori, for that, do we just need to have a majority that wants to add it to it? So I want to. Anybody else? Three? Four?
Yeah.
Five? Unanimous. Okay.
All right. Anything else that anybody would like to add? No? All right. Thank you, Member Hansen, for that. And with that, we will conclude the meeting. Thank you. See you in the first Thursday in June.